And here is what it says. Now a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothing. For she said, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. And instantly her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And at once Jesus realized in himself that power had gone from him, and he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, who touched me? But he was looking around to see who had done this. And the woman with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction. I want to preach from this theme and thought as we kick off this brand new series, Abundance More Than Enough. I want to preach today a message called From Surviving to Thriving. From Surviving to Thriving, or if you want to use this as a subtitle, it's got some swag and some drip to it, because you know Jesus came through dripping with abundance. I'm over this. I'm over this. Tell the person beside you, say, I'm over this. Father, we thank you for your word. These brief moments that we're together, would you stir our hearts, light our faith, ignite our faith. Help us to move from surviving to thriving. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. Big shout out to all of our online family who are watching and worshiping with us today. Church family, can y'all bless God for all of those who are watching online? Amen. From surviving to thriving. I want to ask y'all a question, family. Do you remember years ago that with mobile phones and cell phones, many of you all may be familiar with how you may have had a minutes restriction on your phone? Y'all remember that? That you had a certain plan that would give you maybe 300 minutes, 400 minutes, 100 minutes, minutes of all kinds. And that if you went extra or went over your minutes, you were charged an extra fee. How many of y'all remember that? Some of y'all got massive amounts of late fees because an extra fee is just, you went over your minutes every single month. But you may also remember, I remember vividly having Sprint. Now I think it's T-Mobile, but I remember having Sprint, and they had something that they called free nights and weekends. Praise God for free nights and weekends. And I remember many times saying, if I could just make it to 7 o'clock, Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. If I could just make it at 9 o'clock when my nighttime minutes start. Matter of fact, some of y'all would be like, hey, look, we got to get off the phone right now. Call me at 9:01 because you're going to run my minutes up. And I remember I was in that situation all the time because me and Aaron would be talking on the phone all the time, and I'd be real close to my minutes. I was always checking on Sprint.com and seeing how many minutes I had left. And I remember one time, like halfway through the month, I had like 5 minutes left, and I was like, I got to stretch these 5 minutes for the next 15 days. If I could just make it to the end of the month, and if I could just make it to the nighttime, if I could just make it to the weekend. Because then my data would start over, and my minutes would start over, and my text options would start over. It was like we were surviving month to month. And then they had this feature called free mobile to mobile. Y'all remember that? Where it was free if you were talking to somebody who had another cell phone. Or if it was free if you were talking to somebody who had the same carrier as you. But if you were talking to somebody who did not have the same carrier as you, it would cost you something, which is, let me pause parenthetically and say that that's a word, because if you're connected to the wrong people, you do realize it'll cost you something. Like, y'all realize that, right? I'm going to get into that next month when we talk about relationships. But then, by the grace of God, I remember when Sprint came out with what they called the unlimited plan. That it didn't matter how many minutes you used, it didn't matter how many text messages you sent, it didn't matter how much data that you used, it was a set flat rate, and you had unlimited minutes and data and text in a plan that you can do as much as you want. You went from surviving to thriving. Thank God for the unlimited plan. Because I would have been over my stuff a long time ago. And when I think about that, I think about how many of us are living lives with a limited plan. Limited minutes, limited texts, limited data. I believe that what God is trying to get us to a place in is that we would move from a place of being and living limited to living now in his freedom. That we would go, family, from a place of surviving to thriving. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Can I be transparent? Y'all messed me up last week when I was preaching on abundance. Because as I was talking about this abundant life that Jesus came to give us, I was a little bit shocked at the response that we as a church had to that word. Because when I heard that word from God, I got excited, thinking, thank you, Jesus, for the abundant life that you promised. But when I was preaching last week, I went back home and like, Lord, did I hear the word right? Because it seems like nobody was responding the way I was responding to the word. And the thing that he spoke to me was, it's because people are more comfortable with surviving than they are thriving. People, my people have gotten so comfortable being complacent and living limited, not realizing that I got more for them. That my people for so long have been limited or living life beneath the plan that I have for them. And when I think about that, I come to this passage, which this sermon that God, that I'm preaching today, family, God gave me this sermon back in November for this date, from surviving to thriving. And when I think about that, I think about here in Mark chapter 5, how you have this situation now where Jesus following him, healing this demon-possessed man in this incredible transformational moment that takes place earlier in Mark chapter 4. And then now in Mark chapter 5, the Bible talks about how Jesus is now crossing over with his disciples to another place. And as he's crossing over, he's making his way through these crowds and all these different types of people. And then a guy by the name of Jairus, who's a ruler in that time, comes to him and says, Jesus, Lord, my daughter is sick. Can you come to my house and lay hands on her so that she can be made well? Jesus consents to that. And the Bible talks about that as he is on his way to her house and to their house, there's this large crowd that's around Jesus and all these people that's around Jesus. But while he is on his way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter, a woman hears that Jesus is passing by. Woman hears that Jesus is coming through her area. This woman, the Bible talks about, has this major health issue. Verse 25, if you look at it, it says, a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years. She has a medical issue, what doctors have described in today's time as a continuous menstrual disorder, where she is bleeding nonstop every single day and experiencing the discomfort that comes with that on a regular basis, not for 1 month, not for 1 week, not for 1 year, but for 12 years. She's dealing with this. Now, all my sisters in Christ, can you imagine? I was talking with Ariel this week, and I was like, darling, can you imagine this? Like, I can't, but, like, for 12 years, she's dealing with this condition. But not only is it a medical issue, but she's also now dealing with a social issue. Because under that day and time, in the Old Testament law, in the book of Leviticus specifically, it talks about how if a woman had, during her menstrual cycle, she could not be around people because it was a time when she was considered to be ceremonially unclean. So in other words, she couldn't go in the temple to worship. She couldn't be around people socially. There was isolation. Her spiritual stamina was being affected. And so now imagine dealing with this for 12 years. 12 years, she can't really be around people. For 12 years, she's not able to be in public places of worship. For 12 years, she's considered to be ceremonially unclean. She's living with this condition for over a decade. Let me say it like this. She's surviving, but not thriving. She's lived for 12 years, but she ain't thriving. She's making it day by day. But I'm pretty sure if we were to ask her today, did you want to be healed in year one? She would have said, absolutely. She was suffering, not for 1 year, not for two, but for 12 long years of having to deal with this discomfort. She ain't thriving. She's surviving. She's not just living. She's essentially just existing. And the Bible says in verse 26, I want us to look at it, it says, she had endured much under many doctors. And she had spent everything she had, watch what the Bible says next, and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. This woman had a condition for 12 years, and she did everything in her power to get better, and she didn't get better, she got worse. What do you do when you spend all that you can to make a situation better and it never changes? It actually gets worse. The Bible says she endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had. So not only has she now had a medical condition for 12 years, but now she has a financial issue. She has nothing left. She has a relational issue. She can't be connected to people. She has a social issue. She can't be around people. This woman is dealing with a whole lot right now. She's walking through unbelievable things. And to have this issue for 12 years means that she lived in a perpetual state of pain. She lived in a perpetual state of discomfort. She lived in a perpetual state of discouragement, maybe. She lived constantly in this place of not thriving, but surviving. And I believe that many of us, just like this woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, had this condition. I believe that some of us find ourselves here in person and online, and you find yourself in this persistent cycle of pain. This persistent cycle of discomfort. Yours may not be a medical thing, but it might be a financial thing. It might be an emotional thing. It might be a psychological thing. It might be a spiritual thing. It might be a relational thing. I believe that many of us in here today find ourselves in a perpetual state and persistent cycle, maybe, of affliction, of a problem, of a state of being, of life. For so long. In other words, my life isn't moving forward and I'm just getting by and the situation hasn't gotten better and you've tried everything at your disposal. You've spent energy, you've spent time, you've spent resources, and it seems like things will never get better because you are in this perpetual state. I believe that some of us here today, you've been in this pattern for months. Maybe even for years of brokenness and dysfunction and affliction and trouble and depression and worry and anxiety and loss and emotional distress and stress and all these other things. You've been in this place for so long, and I just want to know, am I in good company here? Is there anybody in here who've ever wondered, when will it end? Anybody ever been in a situation where it had persisted for so long, and you're like, Lord, is there any end in sight? And some of us, you've given up hope, and you've settled on the idea, which I believe is the ultimate goal of the enemy, that this will always be how it is. That I guess I'm just going to have to live with this the rest of my life. Living with discouragement. Living with doubt, living with fear. And the truth of the matter is that we can find ourselves walking through life dealing with the same things, struggling with the same things, and in this holding pattern. And some of you, you've become comfortable now in that place. You've settled in that place. And I'm not shaming you for it. I get it. Because when you've tried everything
and it's persistent, and it seems like things won't change, and it seems like things aren't getting better. It seems like things are getting worse. It seems like there is no hope. But I came to let you know that Jesus did not come for you just to have a mediocre and an average life. He came for you and I to have an abundant life. He didn't come for you to walk in defeat. He came for you to walk in victory. And I came here with good news to let you know that in spite of how bad it looks and in spite of how long it has been, Jesus says that he is the one who comes to break the cycle of defeat. He comes to break the cycle of discouragement. He comes to break the cycle of depression. He comes to break the cycle of anxiety. Jesus is the one who says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I just want to know, is anybody excited about the fact that we don't have to live in the place that we are in right now, but we got a Savior who says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, which means it doesn't have to end this way. It doesn't mean that it will always be this way, because Jesus comes to give us hope and he comes to give us a better future. And I'm here to let you know that you might think that you're alone in this, but Jesus shows us in this text that no matter how bad things are, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how discouraging it is, that Jesus is always close by. I love the fact that Jesus strategically placed himself where he was to be in a position to be accessed by this woman. It was no coincidence that Jesus was making this journey to where he was. I believe that he not only had Jairus' daughter on his mind, but he had this woman on his mind. Because Jesus and who he is, powerful, knowing, strategically placed himself in this position to be accessed by this woman. And the good news of Jesus is that no matter how bad things are, y'all, he is passing through. He is around. He is not far. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he is close to the brokenhearted. Which means if you're dealing with something right now, and if you feel broken on the inside, I'm here to let you know that Jesus is not far off at all. I'm here to let you know that Jesus is close by. And I believe that there are some of you all in here today. You came to church this morning and you logged online this morning and you're saying, Pastor, I am tired of living beneath who God has called and created me to be. He is the God of more than enough. That no matter how good or bad I think my life is, he wants to still do more in my life for his glory and for my good. And I just want to know, is anybody grateful about the fact that God says, I love you where you are, but I love you too much to leave you there. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I love it because Jesus, yes, he meets us where we are, but he loves us too much to leave you there. I love the fact that Jesus comes to us right where we are. But he comes to us where we are so he can take us where he wants us to be. And I think we can learn something from this encounter that Jesus has with this woman who had this issue of blood for 12 years. I think we can learn some key principles here. But I think the number one, the most important thing that I need us to get, if we don't get anything else out of this, what was the very thing that contributed to this woman going from surviving to thriving? Do you know what it was? Faith. Everybody say faith. It was faith. We can get into the weeds of everything else in a moment, but at the end of the day, it was all about faith. And the Bible says this in Hebrews 11 about faith. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. Some translation says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It means I believe even though I can't see it yet. It means I hope against hopelessness. It means I believe God can, even if my situation looks like he can't. It is faith. But here's also what Hebrews 11:6 says. It says, now without faith it's impossible to please God. Since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Which means this, our faith is not in faith itself. Your faith is only as strong as the object in which you place it in. So we don't have faith in faith. We have faith in God. the one who is all-powerful, the one who is all-knowing, the one who is ever-present in times of trouble. My faith is in the one who created all things. My faith is in the one who's providing all things. My faith is in the one who can heal. My faith is in the one who can restore. My faith is in the one who can lift up my spirit. My faith is in the one who did take children of Israel and bring them through from Egypt and lead them through the Red Sea on dry ground. And my faith is in the one who caused the walls of Jericho to fall down. My faith is in the one who got his son up out of the grave on the third day when it looked like death had won. My faith is in that one. That's what my faith is. And do you want to know what the enemy, can I give you a spiritual tactic of the enemy? Do you know the thing that he's after more than anything else in your life? It is not your finances. It is not your relationships. It is not your health. It is your faith. How do we know this? Because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the enemy knows if I can disrupt your faith, I can disrupt your life. Do y'all remember in Genesis? When Adam and Eve were created by God and God gave them dominion in the whole garden, and when the enemy steps on the scene, here's his first words to Eve. Did God really say? He is disrupting her faith and trust in God. Because the enemy knows, I don't need to throw a whole bunch of stuff your way. The goal is to mess with your faith. And all throughout Scripture, you constantly see God speaking to his people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and there's some variation of this thought. Trust me. Trust me. Constantly. Because the thing that the enemy is after more than anything else in your life is your faith. Because if I get your faith, I got you. If I can get you to believe it can't get better, it won't get better. If I get you to believe that God can't change it, then it won't change. You won't walk in it. If I can get you to begin to walk in doubt, then you will never be able to walk in your destiny. I'm gonna mess with your faith. And let me say it like this, that the foundation of flourishing is faith. The key to a flourishing life is your faith. It starts with faith. This is why the whole book of Hebrews in chapter 11 talks all about faith. From the Old Testament to the New Testament. And it talks about how all these people who were faced with these incredible odds walked in faith. Doesn't mean that they were perfect in their life, but they walked in faith. Because the enemy knows that if I can mess with your faith, I can mess with your life. I believe that it is a lack of faith that oftentimes causes us to not go after what God has for us. And there's one or two things that will always occupy your heart. I need you to write this down. It will either be faith or fear. There is no gray area. Either I am being driven by faith and being consumed by faith, or I'm being driven and being consumed by fear. And the question I got to ask myself is, where is my faith? Notice I didn't say how much faith you got. I said, where is it? Is my faith in the stock market? Is my faith in my job? Is my faith in my boo? Is my faith in my ability? Where is my faith? Is my faith in Christ? And I want us to see something here, that this woman had faith in spite of her condition, y'all. Family, she had a bleeding condition for 12 years. She could have gave up a long time ago. She spent everything she had on doctors. She had every reason on paper to adopt the mentality, this will never change. This will never get better. She could have quit a long time ago. Can we be real? Many of us in this room would have quit in year one. I'm not spending no more money. I ain't about to go broke behind this. I guess I'm just going to have to live with this. Year after year after year after year, she continued to move forward in spite of what was working against her. She had faith. And this faith that she had took her from surviving to thriving. But I want to look at two things that she does here that I think we can apply to our lives. Here's the first thing. That going from surviving to thriving is connected to these few principles that we see her do here that allows her to go from one place to the next. Here's number one. She made a declaration of faith in Jesus. So I want you to look at verse 27. Verse 27 says these words. Having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. For she said, verse 28, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. That's a declaration of faith. If I can just get to his clothes, I don't need to have a conversation with him. I don't need to hug him. I can't technically hug him because I'm unclean. I'm technically not even supposed to be in this crowd. But when you are desperate for God to do something, sometimes that means you break conventional rules. She said, if I could just touch his clothes. Some translations say, if I can just touch the end of his garment. In the book of Luke, it talks about, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be made well. She makes this declaration and this statement of faith. She believes that Jesus could heal her. And why is it so important? Because your faith is revealed through your words. Which is why the Bible says that the power of life and death is in your tongue. It's in your mouth. Which is why the Bible says in Romans 10 and 9 that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. There is power in your mouth. Be careful of what comes out of your mouth. Because when you begin to speak lies over yourself, you will begin to walk in the bondage that comes with the lies that you're speaking. But when you begin to speak the truth of God, then you will begin to reap the benefits that come with the truth of God, which is why Jesus says in John 8, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I got to ask this question in here. What is coming out of your mouth? What are you declaring right now? Am I declaring faith, or am I declaring fear? I love how the Bible says she heard about Jesus. So the question I'd like to ask is how did she hear about Jesus? They never met before, from what we know. How did she hear about him? Maybe it was the crowds. Maybe it was maybe a friend of hers sent her a text message or DM'd her on IG or something like that. I don't know. How did she hear about Jesus? Here's what I do know. The word of Jesus spread somehow, which I think is a very important thing for us to remember as Christians. That we are called to be a people who spread the word about Jesus so that others may have access to Jesus. Which means there is something that God wants to do in my life because there's also something that God wants to do through my life. And just like y'all just heard Ariel share this testimony of everything that we have just walked through and how that maybe inspired some of us in here to trust God in a greater way. There is something that God has done in your life that he wants you to talk about so that way it could cause others to be able to see his goodness and see his grace and draw them to him. There is something about a declaration of faith, and whatever it was that she heard, it convinced her enough, I need to go after him, that he's the solution. She believed that if she could just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. And the question I want to ask us here today, family, is do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Do you believe that he's a healer? He says he is. Do you believe that, though? Because him saying he is completely different than you declaring that he is. Do you believe that he is a provider? Do you believe that he is the savior from your sin? What do you believe about Jesus? I'm going to start a whole new series leading up to Easter called I'm Him. And it's going to talk about all these things that Jesus said of who he is. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm Him. Timothy, I'm Him. Some of y'all don't know about that. But he could be him, but the question is, who do you say he is? Who do you believe Jesus is? Do you believe that Jesus can do what's needed in your life to take you from surviving to thriving? And I want to get real right here because I think many of us have just been complacent with grace to get by. If I could just make it to another month, I'll be good. Come on, let's be real. How many of us have said that? If I could just make it to the end of this week, I'll be good. And don't get me wrong, that there are moments in our life that are heavy and that are hard where we are just, it seems like, making it by. But I want to let you know, that's not God's destiny for the entirety of your life. Because God doesn't just give grace to get by. He also gives grace to get over. I'm going to say it again because I don't think y'all got it. God doesn't just give grace to get by. He also gives grace to get over. God doesn't just give you enough to make it to this month, but God says, I want to give you more than enough so that you can live from a place of abundance and not just lack. I want to get you to a place where you don't function from a place of scarcity, but you live from a place of abundance. And that's applicable in every area of my life. Not just one, but in every area. So the question I want to ask us here today is, what area have we maybe settled to just get by? What have we just been cool with just getting by? And I feel just in the spirit that for some of us, this isn't even something that originated with you. This was something that was passed down to you. There were certain strongholds that were in previous generations of your family that have been passed down to you. And so now you are functioning from that place. And you said, because my mama was like that, because my daddy was like that, because this runs in a family, that this will be how it will be in my family. But Jesus said, the devil is a liar. I am the one who breaks generational strongholds. I am the one who breaks bondage. I am the one who can take you from surviving to thriving. They might have dealt with that. They may have walked through that. But that does not mean that it has to be your life. It does not have to be your story. It does not have to be your testimony. And I just want to know, who am I talking into today? Who says, with me, it stops this year. It stops in this lifetime. That what affected my family years ago will not affect my family moving forward. What was generational bondage, it will not be for me moving forward. Stops here. Somebody say, I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm sick of dealing with this thing. Stops. And many of us have been so comfortable. And even hearing a message like this, some of us have a hard time receiving this because you literally think that God only wants to give you scraps in life. But I want to let you know, what would that look like as He is the Heavenly Father? How would He get glory out of you just living off scraps? Which is why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. If your Heavenly Father knows that you need something, isn't He good enough to provide it for you? Isn't He good enough to take care of you? Doesn't He love you? Haven't you been created in His likeness and in His image? Aren't you a daughter of God? Aren't you a son of God? He says, this don't got to be your life. This ain't got to be you. Somebody say, this ain't going to be me. No. And I'm going to preach this thing for the next few weeks till you get this in your heart. Because some of us have been settling for less for so long. I get it. You've been in a condition just like this woman for so long, and it's conditioned you to think that there's no more. Isn't it interesting how our conditions condition us how to trust God? God says, I'm going to free you from that, which means I have to go from believing and speaking lies to believing and speaking truth over my life. I got to say things like 1 Peter 2:24, that by His stripes and His wounds, I'm healed and I'm forgiven. I got to begin to say Philippians 4:19, that my God will supply all of my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I got to begin to speak Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that He's blessed me with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly realms. I got to begin to speak His truth over my life. Declare it by faith. Because that's what this woman did. If I could just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be healed. But she doesn't just make a declaration of faith. She also makes a demonstration of faith. Because it's one thing to say it. It's something else to walk it out. So she doesn't just speak it. Now she lives it. So the Bible says here in verse 27 and verse 28, verse 27, it says that she came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His clothing. I love this, family, because Luke, the book of Luke, records the same account. And Luke actually records her as saying, if I could just touch the edge of His clothing. Now, I'm going to tell you why that's so powerful, that we need to get this powerful aspect of what's happening here. I want you to visualize with me. There's crowds surrounding Jesus. She's not supposed to be in the crowd. She's not supposed to be in public. She's not supposed to be around people, because if she comes in contact with anybody else, they now will be ceremonially unclean. And so she's in a crowd. And so when she says, if I can just touch the edge or the end of his clothing, I'll be healed. One of the things you got to understand about first century rabbis, they would oftentimes wear these robes, and at the end of the four different corners of their robe, they would have what was known as tassels that would be at the bottom of their robe. So when she says, if I can just touch the end of his robe, what she's ultimately saying is, I'm willing to get low to touch Jesus. I am willing to go to a place that I've never been to experience something I've never experienced before. I'm willing to get uncomfortable. I am willing to risk things. I am willing to do something that's inconvenient. I am willing to do something that is unconventional. Why is this so important? Because the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 26, that just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So she didn't just have a faith of declaration, but there was action behind this. So in other words, the thing that I'm trying to help us understand is that true faith always leads to action. And the question I want to ask us is, what steps of faith is Jesus inviting you to take so you could experience the abundant life that he has for you? What steps of faith is he calling you and I to take so that we can see transformation? Because sometimes in order for your condition to change, your position has to change. She doesn't get healed if she stays where she is. Jesus is passing by. She does not get healed if she just watches him pass by. She does not get healed if she stays where she is. And what the enemy wants to do through fear is to paralyze you in your present so that you don't walk in the fullness and the abundance of what God has for you in front of you. So he says, if I can just keep you stuck where you are in fear, you will watch your blessing and abundance walk by you. But if you can have faith the size of a mustard seed, that if Jesus is near, and if I can just reach out to Jesus, and if I can just get to Jesus, then surely he can do something about the condition that I find myself in. If you want your condition to change, that means your position got to change. And that's not just a physical position. That might mean the position of your mind. That might mean the position of your heart. That might mean the position of the decisions that you make. That means things have to change. I cannot expect to lose weight if I don't show up to the gym and eat different. And many of us are praying for things that only discipline will get us. God, drop these pounds in Jesus' name. He ain't doing it. But if you have faith that he can bring you to a place of wholeness and health, then that will drive you to go get a membership at Planet Fitness and go lift some weights 2 to 3 times a week. It will drive you to say no to Krispy Kreme and to say no to Chick-fil-A and to say no to Popeyes. It will drive you to do things differently. It's too real. And what many of us don't have a problem doing is making declarations of faith. Where we get hung up is the demonstration of it. I trust you, God. That's not just seen through what you say. It's seen by how you live and what you do. The blessing of Jesus and his favor and his healing was right in front of her. And if she stays where she is, she never gets healed. But she changes her position. So in other words, if I want to see things be different in my life this year, then that means I got to do some things differently. If I want to see my mind be better, I got to begin to examine, well, what am I putting in my mind? What am I dwelling on? What am I listening to? Who am I listening to? If I want to begin to walk in abundance and walk in this great thing that God has for me, then that means I got to examine, what are the things that I'm doing? And let me help us understand something. That sometimes, more often than not, in order for you to get over it, it means you first have to get under him. Isn't that what the woman did? The Bible says she didn't come to him face to face. She came up behind him and reached down, grabbed his clothes in such an inconspicuous way, so much to the point that when Jesus felt the power go from him, the Bible says he was saying, who touched me? What's going on? I don't see this person. Where are they? Because it shows us the truth of Scripture, which says, humble yourselves under the hand of God, and he will lift you up. And the question I want to ask us is, are you ready this year to get under Jesus? You remember one of our affirmations says, I'm going to be submitted to his presence. You will know what submit means. It means to be under. And many reasons why we don't advance and be who God's called us to be is because instead of trying to get under Jesus, we want to try to be over Jesus. And we want to try to be Jesus to ourselves. And we want to do the things in our own way. But he says, no. If you want this year to be different, that means you got to begin to get under. It means you got to begin to say, not my will, let yours be done. It means that this year has to be different. I got to submit to him. I got to get under him. I got to follow him. I got to be led by him. I got to trust him. Here's what happens. The Bible says that she reaches out to him and she touches him. And here in verse 29, it says, instantly her flow of blood ceased and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. In verse 30, it says, at once Jesus realized in himself that the power had gone out from him, and he turned in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing against you, yet you say, who touched me? I love how the disciples are oftentimes very sarcastic with their responses to Jesus. Fam, you see all these people around you? How you gonna ask who touched you? People out here bumping all into you. All these people touch you, fam. But notice what the Bible says next. But he was looking around to see who had done this. And the woman with fear and trembling. Why was she afraid? Because she wasn't supposed to come in contact with anybody, and she didn't know what his response was going to be. So watch what happens. The woman came with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told the whole truth. Can you imagine? She's in front of everybody, people that she's never supposed to be in front of at all. She's not supposed to be in this crowd at all. And then Jesus invites her to come front forward in front of everybody, not to shame her, but actually to show others of how he healed her. So notice his words. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Be healed from your affliction. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. I love the fact that he says daughter, because it's important for us to know that God doesn't just desire to bring breakthrough to us. He also, more importantly, wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to be a part of his family. Why is this so profound? Because for so long she was ostracized, y'all. For so long she had no social connections to people. And the first thing that Jesus says out of his mouth is daughter. I love the fact that Jesus says, I have come for all people to be a part of my family. I've come to love on all people. I've come to heal all people. I've come to set all people free. That no matter your condition, no matter your color, no matter your context, no matter your creed, Jesus has come for everybody. No matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're dealing with, that you are still a child in his eyes who belongs to him, and he came for you. Why does he show this? Because of his love. He says, I love you. Daughter, your faith saves you. It sounds similar to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that it is by grace through faith that we are saved. Not And this is not from ourselves. It is a gift from God, not from works, so that no person can boast. In other words, that we're not saved by what we do. We're saved by believing in what Christ has done. And what has he done? He's done a whole lot. He's been faithful. He's been good. And she receives this spiritual healing. But then he says, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And I came here to encourage somebody, and I'm going to close with this. I want you to know that it does not matter how weak and how feeble your faith may appear to be. It doesn't matter what your condition is. I want you to know that Jesus says, I came to take you from surviving to thriving. I don't want you living beneath who I've called you to be for the rest of your life. I've got more for you. Does this mean that there won't be seasons of struggle? No, not one bit. God's grace is present with us in the highs, but even more so in the lows. But what it also means is that God's desire is not that you would walk through the valley your whole life, that you might pass through it, but that you don't got to live in it. I'm here to let us know that Jesus is stopping through, and he pulled up today to tell us good news, to let us know that it does not matter how long you've been in the condition that you've been in, no matter how long you've been struggling, he says, I got plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, that the way it is right now does not have to be the way it will always be. Yes, you might be struggling now, but it does not mean you will always struggle. Yes, it might hurt right now, but it does not mean you will always be in pain. Yes, they may have left you right now, but it does not mean that I won't send more people your way. I'm here to let us know that Jesus says, I have life for you and have it more abundantly. So he says, go in peace and be free from your affliction. And the word that I hear God speaking to all of us and many of us in here online and in person is it's time for you to walk free and to walk in peace. It is time for you now to move from a place of surviving to thriving. In every area of your life. And this last word that he speaks to her, go in peace and be healed from your affliction, is what I'm speaking over you today. That it's time for you to be healed, to be free, to be liberated, healed, and to be whole. It starts with your faith. And it's the one thing that God can't do for you. It's the one thing that your spouse can't do for you. It's the one thing that your parent can't do for you. They can't believe for you. You have to believe for yourself. And the thing that I want to preach to more than anything else over these next few weeks is your faith. I want to help you get your faith up. I thank God for this lady. Because, fam, she could have quit in year 4. On paper, she has every reason just to give up. But she kept believing. She was sustained by her faith. Many of you in here, you've been walking through things for a long time. You look back at 2022, you just got by. And some of you have come into 2023, look, this is going to be another old year just like it was last year. That's a lie from the devil, man. It don't have to be that way. Some of us have believed this lie that the way it was is the way it will be. I'm here to let you know, no, it does not have to be. God has more for you. He is the God of abundance. More than enough. So what area right now do you have a cycle of brokenness in your life? Maybe it's mental. Maybe it is financial. Maybe it is emotional, relational. Maybe it's spiritual. But I want to let you know that Jesus came to break that. He came to set you free. Came to bring forth transformation. I want everybody to stand to our feet this moment. I believe that Jesus wants to take you from a place of surviving to thriving. This year of abundance, family. I don't think it's accidental that God has given us this word for this year. I believe that for many of you, you've been surviving. You've been getting by. But aren't you tired of just getting by? Aren't you tired of just making it another month, making it another year? I just wonder if somebody's here and you believe in faith, this year is going to be different. My family will be different this year. My mind will be different this year. My emotional well-being will be different this year. My physical health will be different this year. My financial health will be different this year. That just because it was like that does not mean it has to stay like that. This year will be different. I will not stay where I am. I will move forward in the plans and the purpose of God. I will trust Him like never before. I will have the same faith as this woman with the issue of blood that says, I'm not settling with my condition. I'm not settling with surviving, but I'm going to move from a place of surviving to thriving. No longer will I struggle the way that I used to struggle. No longer will I stay in these strongholds. No, this is the year that I will walk in this freedom that Jesus has given, that just because they died from it doesn't mean that I will die from it. Just because they struggle with it doesn't mean I will struggle with it. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. This will be the year that I go from surviving to thriving. And I want to let you know that the greatest decision and step of faith that you can make to walk in this is to step to Jesus. Some of you are here this morning and you've never stepped to Him. You've never asked Him into your heart. You've never received Him as Lord. You've been trying to do this thing on your own for so long. Like the woman with the issue of blood, you've done everything you can in your own power to direct your life, to change your life. It hasn't changed. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus is here. He's passing through to trust in Him. So if this is you and you're saying, today, I want to surrender my life to Christ. I want to invite Him into my heart. I want to receive Him as my Lord and as my Savior. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Life more abundantly. I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. I receive your love. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together.